Mendesi, for I brought about all things for your behalf, says the Spirit of grace. Everything provided for at the cross is still in effect today. Come boldly before the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of trouble. I've provided all these things for you. Don't be bashful. Don't be shy. Don't be ashamed. Come under my blood and washings daily and find a place of restoration for your souls and your spirit. For I provided these things that you may lavish yourself in my presence and be filled with my presence all the day, says the Spirit of the Lord. Upon every waking hour, during the night, I'll visit you. And during the day, I'll visit you. Malach iskete, yes, sir. I am a living Lord. I live through the pages of my word, but I live through the hearts and minds and spirits of my children to continually speak the truths of my love to you. So follow me in presence. Follow me in truth, says the Spirit of grace. I'll raise you up, strengthen you daily. You'll know my promises and be filled with my gladness and my grace, says the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Yes, sir. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many receive that? Amen. He loves you. Wants more for you. Glory. Well, let's all stand. Welcome everybody that's watching. Thank you for tuning in, all of our family. Let's get ready to go into revival. I want to remind you of some things this morning through the scripture. Why don't you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. Hallelujah. Been in Peter some this week. Let's go into the word. We love all of you that are watching. We appreciate you. Thank you for being here with us. Father, we thank you. We give ourselves over to this opportunity to continue to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Take us to that place that only you can provide for us. Lord, the outpouring, the washings. Lord, we humble ourselves and we just pray that you'll take us to that place by the provision of your word and by the provision of Holy Spirit. Lord, our hearts are before you. We have no other source but you, Heavenly Father. We give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. 1 Peter 5:1, the elders which are among you I exhort, he says, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Now, he's specifically talking here about those who have in the first part of this, a call to ministry and those who are called to share the word of God. But I want you to catch this morning an emphasis that Peter's talking about in humbling ourselves, because I believe it's one of the prerequisites of this outpouring. Humbling ourselves first before God and then in our presence with each other. He says, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, in other words, because of money and the things that you want from the ministry itself, but of a ready mind, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being examples, in samples, he said, the King James, but examples to the flock. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, be submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, and all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud. Everybody say resisteth the proud. and gives grace to the humble. Hallelujah. So you didn't have to say the second part, but you can. Hallelujah. The entire, he's talking about here, not just the, when he says elder, he's talking about elder as in spiritual growth. But then he concludes by saying there's something overall that should be at work in the church, and that is a humility. An overall humility that we're all submitting ourselves. Somebody said, well, what about doctrine? What about? He's not talking about that. He's talking about an attitude of the heart. Now, you should be submitting to the doctrine of those who are teaching you, and if you trust them. But he's not talking about everybody's coming with a, you know, you submit to him and you submit to her based on whatever they say. All things should be proven. But he's saying here, and this is so vitally important, that God resists the proud. Well, if there's anything that I don't want to be, is I don't want to be resisted by God. I want him to woo me, and I want to come into his presence and have an absolute immediate connection with my Father. Well, where's the attitude of the heart? Where does this all fit in? Humble yourself, verse 6, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, he says, that you may be exalted, casting all your care. The word care here is actually in the Greek the word anxiety, and it is can come about through a test, a trial. Now, for them then, he specifically, Peter is talking about the persecution that they're under for Christ's sake, because they're speaking the word of God, and because that they are scattered abroad throughout the nations, and there are, he called them strangers. But he is telling us here that if we'll cast all of our care upon him, because he says here, be sober, casting all your care upon him. The word care in the Greek is the word anxiety. Upon him, for he careth for you. Pastor Dave used to talk about that he became a professional care caster, that he could cast his care on the Lord, he thought. And he said, I would cast my care on the Lord. I'd go to the altar. I'd cast it on the Lord. Lord, you, here it is. It's all yours. I'm giving all this to you. I'm giving all this to you. And he said, but the problem was, he found out, is that he said he'd get in his car. All my cares are cast on the Lord. Hallelujah. I feel so good. Amen. Everything's cast on you. And he said he would drive home, and he would find out that he was driving a Volkswagen Bug, and his cares were driving a Ferrari. In other words, they got home in front of him. And so when he opened the door to walk in, care was there once again. Hello. There is a way in which we can cast it on him and it stays there. And that is where Peter is telling us in these scriptures here that we are to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that we are to come into a place, and we're just going to share through scripture here how we do that, how that we continue to present ourselves in a place where the care doesn't come back. It doesn't have a place where it can meet us at the door when we get home, but we're able to continually place it on him and keep it on him. How many of you want to keep it on Jesus? Be sober, he says, and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Well, who is he seeking to devour? One of the things that gives him access into devouring us is taking the care and walking in a place where we're not relinquishing that care on the Lord and allowing Holy Spirit to take us to a place where the Word is replacing care. Promises are replacing care. And so he says here, be sober, be vigilant. The trial, why does he say be sober? He says be sober because you actually can become intoxicated in the trial. If you don't stay in the presence of God and you don't stay in the Word of God, then you'll begin to as Homer was adequately saying several times, you'll begin to believe the mirage. You'll begin to believe what Satan says about you or to you. And you've got to stay into a place, and that becomes a place of intoxication. That's why Peter is saying, stay sober. Stay in a place of sobriety. How do I do that? Well, I'm casting my care on you, but it's not just in words only, but it's in action. That, Lord, that I'm humbling myself. How do I humble myself? One is primarily by doing the message, by doing what you're being taught here, which is praying in the Holy Spirit, meditating the Word of God, fasting, and worship. These things are so vital in our life. They keep us sober before the Lord. They keep us in a place where we ourselves are continually being washed and humbled and saying, Lord, I don't know nothing of myself. I have no ability of myself to go forward. But to be sober, the trial can intoxicate you if you let it. Paul says, whom resists, talking about Satan, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, hallelujah, the God of all grace. Would you lift your hands and say, thank you, Father, for the God of all grace. You are the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. After that, you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory. The suffering, to him be glory, it says, and dominion forever and ever. Somebody said, well, does he want me to suffer for a while? He doesn't want you to suffer at all. He wants the time frame in which you're suffering. Now, those then, I'm going to be contextually as close as I can, they were suffering persecution. Now, we're kind of going off here just a little bit, but I think we've got enough room here in Scripture to say, because he says, casting all your care upon him. Anything that is in your life presently, and that word care also can mean, there's a root word and then there's a derivative, but it means a distraction. Anything that is distracting you from the Lord or from your assignment becomes a care. And that's what we're supposed to continually be casting on him. And he says here that if we will, that he will establish, strengthen, and settle and make us perfect. Now, it doesn't mean that we become perfect in the sense like never making a mistake, but the word perfect there is spiritually mature. We come to a place of spiritual maturity. The suffering for a while, where's the timeline from the suffering to the time where you're established and strengthened, settled, and made perfect? It's the maturing process. It's the humbling. Jesus said this. He said, why would you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I say? I love the message, Pastor. Well, are you doing the message? I love the purging process, Pastor, what you teach. Well, are you doing it? Are you allowing that part in your life where the Holy Spirit can come and speak to you on a continual basis and say, you know what? You may have been able to do that last year, but you can't do that now. How many of you have found that? Hallelujah. What you used to be able to watch on TV, you can't watch now. About as far as I can get is Gunsmoke. I can't even watch the commercials. And if I see something, I'm like a little boy that goes tattle. If I see something, I'll say, Candy, did you see that? I don't want that on my conscience. Look at this, Candy. She can look at it because it's usually women. But the things that we were once able to do, we're not able to do now. Well, the Spirit hasn't changed. Who's changing? You and I are changing. Hallelujah. There's a purging process going on. Hallelujah. And it's all for the outpouring's sake. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. The suffering for a while depends on our spiritual growth, how close and how quickly we can call on him to grow. God wants us free from every demonic attack sent. How many remember the message that the Holy Spirit gave me a couple of years ago about the eight demonic spirits? they would come, and now I see even more that I could have tagged on there, they will come with a mirage. Some of that was, what was it? Help me out. Some of you remember? Infirmity. That was one of the ones. Lukewarm. Excuses. Lust and perversions. Those kinds of things. To the saint of God, it was important that we stood against those things, against the mirage that they would bring, because they want to bring forth a distraction to your life. And if they can get you out, if they can totally take you out, they'll take you out. God wants us free from the demonic attacks that have been sent to stop revival. The God of all grace. Paul lived in a place. You remember Paul was in a place. Paul wasn't fighting sin. He was fighting persecution. But persecution brought him to a place where he cried out to the point where he was like, God, I just can't take any more. And he realized that if he humbled himself, now it doesn't say that in Scripture in the 2 Corinthians chapter 12. It doesn't say that I humbled myself, but that's exactly what he did. He came to a place where he humbled himself under the mighty hand of God. And he said, Lord, I cannot take any more. Because if you look in chapter 11, he went through stonings. He went through shipwrecks. He went through all kinds of demonic attack. In fact, he said that there was a messenger of Satan that had been sent from hell to buffet him. In other words, everywhere that he went, there was this spirit there to stir up the people against him and try to destroy him. Paul came to the place where he said, I sought the Lord. What did he say? Three times I sought the Lord on this. And I said, God, you've got to get me out of this. And the Lord did the same thing to him that he says in 1 Peter. After that, you've suffered a while. Strengthen, settle, establish, and make you perfect. He told Paul, if you want to rise above this, in essence, know this, my grace is sufficient for you. He wasn't saying my grace is insufficient. He was saying, if you understand my love and the power of my strength, you can rise up above this. So I say to us this morning, as a church, as we're going forward, and those of you that are through the camera this morning, we have a place of humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. We have to come to a place where we all the more. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians. I was just quoting it, but let me read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 9 and 10, he said, he was speaking of Christ, speaking to him. He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, he said, then am I strong. Humbling ourselves brings us to a place of exaltation out of the trial, or either, you know, those in the first church, he didn't take them out. He just caused them to rise up above it and say, I can stand up under this persecution. Now, he wants you out of sickness. He wants you out of disease. He wants you out of anxiety. He wants you out of sin. Amen. Come on now. What does humbling look like? Or what? Come on, give us some practical. What does humbling actually look like or sound like, or what it doesn't sound like? Homer used to say, and I love this, righteousness doesn't have a voice. What does that mean? Righteousness. In other words, if you're walking in a place where you should be, you don't find it necessary to tell people how close you're walking with God. You don't have to convince anybody. Come on, somebody. Well, I'm close to the Lord. I'm walking real. We'll see it. James, this is what humbling looks like. James 1 says this. You can turn there, you're just listening. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak. slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Hallelujah. Superfluity of naughtiness. That does sound naughty, doesn't it? How did Dave used to describe this? Superfluity of naughtiness. It was, I'm just quoting Dave now. I'm not trying to get in trouble myself. He said, it's like when you make unscheduled appointments, to meet accidentally at the water fountain with somebody. The only thing is that somebody is somebody else's wife. He did. That's how Dave described it. He said it was a superfluity of naughtiness. And he says, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to do what? Save your souls. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. It isn't amazing here that he doesn't say that Satan deceived us. He said you deceived your own self if you're not a doer of the word, but just a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. But if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's likened unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholding himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's like a lady putting on her makeup and saying, oh, I've got it just right, and then walk away. Did I put on this or did I put on that? You forgot immediately because you're not a doer but only a hearer. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth, everybody say continueth. Continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deeds. Hallelujah. That's where I want to be. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, here comes some humbling, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor, how do I live unspotted from the world? You know, one, the Word of God. I mean, there are certain things that we know that is absolutely absolutes. Then there's things that the Holy Spirit will come and he'll purge out of your life. He will say, somebody else can do that. Well, but what's he said to you? There are killer sins. There's three places that we know that if even after you're born again, if you begin to do those sins, your spirit will die. The Word of God says in the last days there will be doctrines of devils. You know, it's a doctrine of a devil. It's not just of men. It's a doctrine of a devil to believe that you can be born again and then start going back into the world. Right. To believe that you can fornicate, to believe you can commit adultery and still make heaven. That's not a doctrine of just of man, that's a doctrine of devils. But the Holy Spirit is teaching us in these last days to not only feed the flock, but as he said in the first part of this, take oversight. Now, most of you are not teachers of the Word of God, but you're employed. I'm going to employ you this morning. Those of you that are on this walk, help us have an oversight. And that's a little stretch of the actual context of this. An oversight of the flock, because they're going to come in here and we're going to see them born again. Let's teach them sound doctrine. Not a condemning gospel, but a truth, an absolute truth. Hallelujah. Are you still with me? He says here that we are to lay in part. What verse was I in James? 27, pure religion. Okay, the sound of humbling yourself is this. This is another sound, but it's a spiritual sound. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Hallelujah. You know, it's humbling to spend 2 or 3 hours in the presence of the Lord speaking in tongues and not know what you're saying. He said, no man understandeth him, meaning not somebody else, unless it's a tongue for interpretation, or even yourself. Dave used to say he loved people. He wasn't really making fun, but he was saying, for people to think that you can, by your mind, direct the tongue, you can't do that. You edify yourself in the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, what were you praying about? Well, I want a new car, so I just started praying in tongues. You can't just say, well, I'm going to pray in tongues right now, and it's going to be about this. The Holy Spirit is the one that dictates. It's by His will. Hallelujah. It's humbling to pray for an hour after hour and not know what you're praying about. Waiting on God. Waiting on God. That's a very important place. This is where I want to really encourage you. Wait on God. Pray in tongues and then listen. The Holy Spirit, to strengthen, settle, and establish and make you perfect, He will whisper. He will continually whisper in those times. Sometimes you'll hear a bold voice from your Father, but the Holy Spirit will continually whisper to you how to get out of your test, how to rise up above it. Hallelujah. Is this okay? Hallelujah. Doing the instructions. You know, I found out about this about myself, and I'm preaching a lot of this to myself, but a lot of times we are people with God's already given us instruction, but we're people waiting on instruction, but we haven't done the last instruction. You're not going to get far with God in new instruction until you're obedient with the old instruction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Keep doing. Kenneth Hagin, I love Kenneth Hagin. He says this. Keep doing. He used to say, this is not verbatim, but he would say, when the Lord told him something, just keep doing it until He came and changed it. Hallelujah. Don't stop. Don't stop. Paul said this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's mortification. Lord, mortify me. Bring me into another place of mortification. Hallelujah. And I said that I love Kenneth Hagin. I love him. I appreciate him. I'm sure that as we have grown, there are things through the years that the Lord has taught us, even beyond where our forefathers have brought us, but thank God for the foundation they gave us. Hallelujah. And I say that in all humility. Verse 2 says this, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. There's two ways in which He speaks. One is that the Holy Spirit speaks to us by the Word of God, and the other is that we have a living Lord. He lives in heaven. Communication with Him on a continual and daily basis is absolute to hear His instruction. The Word says in Hebrews that we are to separate ourselves from the sin and the weight that so easily besets us. And I don't even have that in our scripture. Jesus said this. This is a verse that I quoted a little bit ago in Luke chapter 6. You don't have to turn there. But He says, why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them not, I will show you to whom he is like. He's like a man who built his house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the floods arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house
It could not be shaken, for it was founded on a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that is without a foundation, who's built his house upon the earth, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. And church, it's time for us to dig deep. Dig deep. What's your plans for tomorrow? Go in. Hallelujah. And I know, and like Homer was saying Wednesday night, he was so gracious. He said, I know that most of you don't have the opportunity that he has, that I have, but use as much of your day as you possibly can. Go into him. And what he's asking of you, he's not asking the same thing of you that he's asking of me or maybe Homer, but it's important that you dig deep. How many of you want to receive? Please, I'm asking you, receive this revival with me. Hallelujah. I want to be right in doctrine, okay? But as far as things between me and you, all right, you got the last word. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I just want to humble myself. Okay, you're right. And I'm not me. In that sense, the word, all I want is the outpouring. Hallelujah. All I want is the outpouring. Paul said this, brethren, he gave us that we're to scrutinize ourselves and not others. Brethren, he said this in Galatians, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one with a spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in others, or not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now, somebody said, I don't quite get that. Let every man prove his own work. I like the way the Amplified says it. If any person thinks himself to be somebody, too important to condescend to shoulder another's load, when he is nobody of, in parentheses, of superiority except in his own estimation, he deceives and deludes and cheats himself. But let every man carefully scrutinize and examine and test his own conduct and his own work. He can then have the personal satisfaction of joy of doing something commendable in itself alone, without resorting to boastfully comparing himself or comparing with his neighbor. What is that saying? It's saying this: we're not to compare our spirituality for rejoicing purposes. In other words, I'm more spiritual than them. I within yourself, that your rejoicing is, see, he's not grading us on a curve. He's grading us as individuals. And when we begin to grade ourselves and say, Lord, I know I'm more spiritual. You don't say that out loud. You just somewhere back in the subliminal of your mind, you're thinking, I know I'm walking in a better place than they are. And I say this to all of us to think, well, I know more than they do. And that's a place where he's telling us we have to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. I don't know nothing except what you teach me, Jesus. And all that I have is free, and it's not to be compared to what somebody else doesn't have. In my mind, in my heart, what I have is yours and yours alone, and I'm not judging myself on the peripheral. I know more than they do. I'm walking in a better place than they are. Hallelujah. That is a strong definition of humbling yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I like what the example of trying to grade ourselves on the behalf of others. Jesus was telling Peter, he said, you know, when, and this is at the end, and I'm paraphrasing, he said, you'll give your life for me. And when you were young, you girded yourself and went wherever you wanted. When you're old, somebody else will gird you and take you where you don't want to go. What an honor. Hallelujah. I that would be an honor. It really is. I've contemplated that, but besides. And Peter turned while they're there, and he was looking at John, and he was like, what about him? I think, now I don't want to judge, I'm doing my best not even try to think of, I just want to think of myself. I think that we're often, all of us, like that. You're telling me, what about them? Peter said concerning John, he said, what will this, he said, Peter, you'll die. And then Peter turns to Jesus and he said, what about him? Meaning, what about John? What's he going to do? And this is where we have to tell ourselves is this. It doesn't matter what he's telling them. What is he telling you? What is the message that he's saying to them? Jesus said, Peter, what does it matter to you what I'm telling John? That's mine and John's business. You stay in your lane, Peter. Hallelujah. It's important, church, that we stay in our lane. Hallelujah. More so in these last days than ever before. We're humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would like to just stand and worship the Lord with us for just a few moments? Harry, just come. Hallelujah. Peter said this, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but as a ready mind. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you to continue to go in with us into prayer, fastings, seeking the Lord. Hallelujah. Humbling yourself, not asking, what about somebody else in the church? What are they doing? But saying, Lord, this is between me and you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We glorify you. How many of you want to just come and just worship the Lord with us during this time? It's open. Hallelujah. Let's spend a few moments before we go home today. Hallelujah. Come and worship with us for at least 10 minutes. We've got plenty of time. It's only the half hour. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus.
Never fails me.